I was privileged last spring to meet Kenneth Ginsburg at Cordner Hall. They had a tremendous meeting on what to do with the children in the Walla Walla Valley. Terry Barilla, who is a member of the Interfaith Coalition for our area, decided that we needed to do something for Walla Walla's children. Statistics are that about 30% of the entire valley's children are not living with either biological parent. Many of them are couch surfing. Many of them are with grandparents or in foster care. It was realistically brought to my mind on Thursday when somebody stopped by my office and I asked how she was doing. She said, well, okay, except I had all five grandkids with me last night. The caregiver that was taking care of them was stabbed by the son of the caregiver. And so the caregiver was in the hospital with a deep stab wound. The son was now in jail. What he talked about was the community's responsibility for helping children become resilient and survive these childhood experiences that are devastating. He began with a picture of an African boy, probably about six, in the middle of a refugee boat that was sinking. His mother was on one side of him and his grandmother was on the other side, and he was just beaming. Resilience, that was his picture. Kids can go through anything as long as their caregivers are in touch with them, not only physically, but emotionally and spiritually. So this morning we're going to share seven C's that Ginsburg talked about. They're not only for children, however, they're for all of us.
As I said, Jocelyn has changed our service. And another change that I experience is when I take my health walk, I walk on 2nd Street. Now, the Chins are on 3rd, I'm on 1st, but sometimes I go around the block on 2nd. And this is the sign that I saw in front of a house. Perhaps you've seen some of these signs. Terry Barilla and perhaps children of Walla Walla, friends of children of Walla Walla, perhaps they are putting these out. And when you see this sign, you have to look rather closely to find out what is on the carton. And so I have helped you experience this by sharing with you some of these little printed, I got very close and I took my notes down. Critical thinking skills, expressing feelings, the ability to calm oneself, learning to solve problems, and make decisions, showing empathy, helping a friend, developing self-esteem. That's what's on that carton. Perhaps you want to look at the website, some of you who enjoy that, and you'll get more of a comprehension of the website and its mission. Daylene will talk a bit more about Kenneth Ginsburg, but his book, as she will show you, is a masterful piece of writing. And I recommend grandchildren devour this book. I went into it for a couple of hours, and it is a masterpiece. It's so well laid out and a great read. He's got some marvelous insights. It reminded me of some of the insights of Solomon. And so I went to the book of Proverbs, and this is what I put together a bit of God's word mixed in with the first C, which is competence. Competence. How do we encourage Jocelyn in her competence? That's the first C. And Proverbs 19:23 says, "The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall be satisfied." When you have competence, there's a level of satisfaction. You have some headroom in your life. I can do this. It's not a vague hunch that you can do this, but that you've been there before. Some of the questions that are associated with this C, the number one C, do I help my child focus on his strengths and build on them? I'm sure some of you parents are actively doing that even now. How do I focus in on my child's strengths and encourage that? Here's another question. There's a battery of questions, but do I let him make safe mistakes so that he has the opportunity to right himself? Or do I try to protect him from every trip and fall? I'm a grandfather now, but when my grandfather was overseeing me as his grandson, I discovered a wonderful object on the farm. You see, I came from Seattle. I lived there 3 years. I went to school 12 miles away, and every day I went to school, I watched the poles on the back of the bus make those interchanges at the corner sections, and I'd see the flashes of sparks. I would see all this incredible electricity. And then sometimes I would see that they would come off the track and the bus would stop and the bus driver would get out and reattach to the power source that bus. And so as a little kid, when I went to grandfather's farm, you know what I played? I played bus driver. And so I would take my stick along grandfather's fence that had electricity in it, and I would play like I was connected as I walk around the 18 acres of his farm. One day, I learned something. But first of all, I saw something. It was the most beautiful, similar attaching rod that I could ever imagine. Somewhere on that farm, they had this long rod, and I said it would be ideal to drag along the fence. And my grandfather gave me permission with a twinkle in his eye. And I have not stopped being intrigued with things that use electricity ever since. I immediately dropped it. I was charged a little. I was charged. I was so entranced with my own story. I've got another C here. It's confidence. C, confidence. Children gain confidence by demonstrating their competence in real situations. How excited they are to demonstrate their competence. When I went to Milton State Line School this week, I went to the third and fourth graders, and there was a little girl that asked me, "Are you going to be at the talent show on the 29th at 4 o'clock? She is going to demonstrate her confidence in her talent. And she wanted me to be there and see that confidence. And so this demonstration is so important. Do I catch him doing good when he is generous, helpful, or kind, or when he does something without being asked or cajoled? Do I catch him doing that? Those are important. I couldn't help but know that I needed to make the talent show an important priority in my life.
The next one is connection. Proverbs 16:7 says that when a person's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Children like to feel close ties. They like to have a solid sense of security. And family, of course, is the central force. Some questions to ponder when wondering if your child is connected. Does my child know that I'm absolutely crazy in love with him? Does my child have the opportunity to express negative emotions? Do I have a time when I show that love, that connectedness regularly? And forgive me for using a couple of examples from my grandson. About 2 weeks ago, my daughter was trying to get him into bed. And they have a ritual cuddling every night while we read a couple of stories. And usually he's there before she is. This one particular time, she says, okay, it's cuddle time. We're going to read a story. Wait a minute, Mom. I've got to finish practicing my concerto. Kind of surprised her. When children come to the point where they have their own confidence and satisfaction, parents may have to work a little harder to retain the connection or find a new way to make the connection. The next one is character. Proverbs 20:11, even a child makes himself known by his actions, whether what he does is good and right. Children need a fundamental sense of right and wrong. Children who feel confident, who have a connection, will enjoy strong self-confidence, which enables them to believe not only that God exists, but that God cares for them personally. And this is kind of a challenge to learn this sometimes. My grandson loves to play the piano, and he's so proud of himself because he was able to play Frère Jacques on every C on the whole piano. So this is what happened. You start up here. And of course, as he gets better, it gets louder and faster. All the way down. The other day, he was just in tears because something had happened and he got... My daughter, who has read Ginsberg's book and trying to put these into practice, she said, oh, that was interesting. You just did what many composers do. They play their melody in a minor key after they've learned to do it in a major key. She says, that's what you did. And she went and she said, see, you started on A instead of C, and that's what made it minor. Oh, he says, I guess I am pretty good. And children need to know that, because they don't know that when they're expressing themselves. They have trouble. When they're experimenting, they're learning. They don't know everything. They take it personally if they make a mistake. And I think the biggest confidence that we can do them for them in developing character is helping them to allow themselves to learn by what they do and not to internalize it into a sense of dismay or depression because they're not good enough. That ends up destroying their relationship to God. Do I model the importance of caring for myself, allowing myself to make mistakes? Do I model tackling problems step by step? Or do I just react emotionally when I'm overwhelmed? Another C is control. A child who feels that everything happens to them from outside, that they're not in control of anything, is likely to become pessimistic, depressed. When you see control as external, that you can do nothing about the situation, you lose resilience. But a resilient child knows that he can or she can make a difference because they've been taught that by the people who love them. So if parents make all the decisions, protecting them from making false decisions or bad ones, they will never learn to be in control of themselves. Questions about control. Do I help my child understand that no one can control all circumstances? But you can choose how to relate to those by choosing behavior. And do I understand that teaching is discipline? It's not about punishing or controlling or taking away control. This goes with us all our lives. My mother is facing that right now with the broken pelvis and the heart attack that she suffered. She's lost control of when she eats and who says what and when she can answer the phone and when the therapist comes. The sense of loss is that I'm not worth anything because I can't do anything like I used to. Why didn't I just die? That was what she said. And we all know how that can be when we feel that we've lost what's important to us. The control factor needs to be, as Proverbs 21 or 26:3 says, if you have a whip for the horse and a bridle for the donkey and a rod for the back of a fool, what are those control devices for? To teach inner control. Once we have that, we don't have to do what everybody else says. He ended up with the seven C's. Do you have one more? Yeah, okay. Go
ahead. The fifth C is contribution. And I wish you could have been on my front porch when I asked a couple of teens to contribute to the program November 21, right here in this church on Thanksgiving, the Tuesday before Thanksgiving service. I asked them to be part of the service. They had never seen the music before, but they were like they were hungry. They could hardly wait to receive the music that they had never seen before. They want to contribute. They want to believe that the world is a better place because of them. That's a huge learning experience and a great, wonderful experience for a child. Author Ginsberg remarks that it is a powerful lesson when children realize that the world is a better place because they are in it. The next C, number six, children who learn to cope effectively with stress are better prepared to overcome life's challenges. As we said, Jesus says, he who endures to the end shall be saved. And so this is a spiritual experience called resilience. He who endures. I think of Proverbs 19:28. An ungodly witness scorneth judgment, and the mouth of the wicked devoureth iniquity. Children who learn to cope effectively with stress are better prepared to overcome life's challenges. Some pondering questions are, do I model positive coping strategies on a consistent basis? On my front porch this week, I received a knock from one of my neighbors, a mother of two in our neighborhood. And one of the first things she said, how she copes with life apparently, she confessed almost immediately. She said, I have alcohol in my, well, it looked like it was something that I would like a normal drink, you know, of 7-Up or Coke. But she says, I have alcohol in that. And I, we were discussing about her being a parent and consistency in her life. And I said, children know whether you're going up the cycle of intoxication, whether you're intoxicated, or whether you're dropping down on the other side of intoxication cycles. They pick that up immediately. So a question, do I model positive coping strategies on a consistent basis? Do I guide my child to develop positive, effective coping strategies? And if my child participates in negative behaviors, do I condemn him for it? In doing so, do I recognize that I can only increase his sense of shame and therefore drive him toward more negativity? I think Daylene has the seventh C.
The seven C's altogether. Children need to experience competence before they can gain confidence. They need connections with adults to reinforce their competence. Then they need character to know what they should bring to contribute to their environment. He said that contribution, doing something for somebody else, was the most important thing that a child could learn. It fixed their heart problems. Sharing. Children who communicate gain confidence, and they feel more competent, and then they contribute. All of this leads them to recognize they do make a difference, which gives them confidence. Now, as you think about those building blocks for resilience, they're the same ones that we need. We need to feel competent. We need to feel connected. We need the feeling of control. He ended his lecture by saying that if we don't model this for our children, whether they're our church children, our own children, our grandchildren, when they get to be 35 and are having their own families growing up, that's why we probably are the way we are in our Walla Walla Valley. He doesn't give a lot of hope for what's already happened unless we individually take interest in those children who are growing up under parents that may not have made it. So he says, the first thing for you to do is to take care of yourself and model good behavior. Then pray for grandmothers. He says, whatever you do, don't roll your eyes at teenagers. Ask kids what they need. They are the best expert on their own lives. They know, and they will tell you. And last of all, he says, keep calm and serve snacks.